Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of Academia Insights. Today's episode is a little bit different than usually because we are recording live from Gotland, from a place that shaped my life in more than one way and more than I could have ever imagined when I first came here. I came here for becoming a better writer, but I also found so much more. This is a place where I lived and work with my friend and colleague Hannah Engström. It is also where I have met my husband. Yeah, and Hannah and I, we worked closely together for many, many years and shared everyday life and horses and ideas. Also the challenges of daily life and probably more than a few very long days in the riding arena and in the stable. And we have remained friends ever since. That alone is already well done when you can manage to ride the waves of your life. And now I'm back and I'm staying here for a couple of weeks on the farm and becoming part of the rhythm that every farm has a little bit. I feel it's like a heartbeat. Every farm has a little bit an individual rhythm. Coming back to a place like this is a strange and beautiful experience at the same time, because you don't only meet the people you knew and where you have been part of the rhythm, but you also meet the person that you have used to be 10 years ago. That's a long time.
You remember yourself from then.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, exactly. No, when I was standing with Mona in the arena on the spot there, so wow. And Hannah and I, we have both spent so many years working with horses and exploring academic art of riding, horses, life, challenges, having a farm. We have learned and taught and questioned and changed and exchanged and gazed at experiences that have inevitably transformed the way we see horses today and ourselves. So today we want to talk about and now. We want to talk about the things we once believed with absolute certainty, the ideals we pursued also, and the horses who made us reconsider, one or the other thing. And we want to talk about acceptance, because acceptance of the horse in front of us, so important, rather than the horse we imagined it might become, the horse of our dreams, maybe. Mm. Also acceptance and patience, maybe, with ourselves.
And the hardest
part, yeah. And our own bodies, our limitations, the changes that life is bringing, and the questions of whether acceptance really means laying up or giving in, or whether it might be the point from which honest development can finally begin. So that was a very long introduction, Hannah.
But it was well said.
Welcome. It feels a little bit funny to welcome you to your own garden. And to a podcast in your own garden. At the same time, I'm so grateful that we are here and that we finally managed, because we have this project in some while.
Yeah, I think a blessing. You can have projects inspire you.
Yes.
And to just keep going forward.
Yes.
That is what we all need. I'm grateful here. Thank you, Selina, for inviting me.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, I don't know. Now it was a long intro and you already mentioned the topic, but for them that don't me, I could tell something I get in my mind of why I, for the first place, choose to come here where we are now.
Please.
I have a background where my father had horses and he was breeding them for a certain goal. He wanted to have horses that were able to travel long distance and being safe and having the correct temperament, human life, and enjoy how humans are living when they are on a long journey.
Hmm.
And I knew how careful he was with the selection. I know also how I cried when he sold a beautiful foal and I asked him, why do you sell this boy now? And he said, yes, because he don't want to go on the journey. He wants something else. And I couldn't really understand it as a child. I couldn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But the mother he had, he has founded a very, very good breeding mare, I must say. I don't know how he was so skilled. I cannot believe. He's not alive any longer, so I cannot ask him.
He had this feel.
He had a feel exactly of what he was going to, and he knew the challenges with that talk. So he was not playing around. He was clear what he needed to make it work. So the breeding mare was excellent, according actually to. She made also excellent offsprings for the task. And he was able later to do a 4-year-long journey with this family of horses. I remember that it was never about that the horses didn't manage. It was other things that was more challenging around the journey. That I live with, but also if I look back, how he kept the horses. He kept them without the field. They were loose around the farm. Mm. We had that circumstances that they could choose. They were grassing on field, or if they went to the forest, or he made them choose their own daily path. And he also told them, this time during the day we work together, the rest you can go off in your family. And that made a lot of impact in. Then I had the same background as many of us. I have been in a riding school. I have seen horses stressed or misunderstood, and all this that we all have done. And then I started to think that having enough land for at least starting to give horses as good conditions as I could afford, I really wanted if I should do more with horses in my life. And therefore this farm came alive. We used it with good and bad, as you
as it is, as always,
it is, as life. It is. And what was then very, very interesting were absolutely all the horses I put out here on the fields together. They were developing in a positive direction, but then their real body issues became clearer.
To come out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, came out. And then I thought, as we all have done, hand on our heart, thought, oh, we have to become better riders. It must depend on us that we cannot run good enough. Mm. So therefore, I decided to start to learn how, and there the academic art of riding came into the picture.
Yeah,
and yes, I agree. A lot of beneficial things started to happen, and I was grateful for that. And then again, it stopped developing and thought, why is it doesn't help that I'm better and better in riding or doing more and more advanced exercise. Still, here we have an issue. And there my knowledge stopped. And yes, used a lot of different body therapists, veterinarian knowledges, changing exercises, you know, changing diets, changing things, really trying the very, very best in all different ways. You can also care for a horse. And still something was not possible. And I remember how hopeless, how sad, how angry, frustrated I have become. And yes, some cases were clear that this horse has too much trouble to enjoy just being in the field. Then that individual needed to go. And I feel that that was the best I could give that individual. But still these in the gray zone. And I remember it was such a stress, the riding arena with these horses. I just felt my knowledge. I just felt that I had to stop. I took a decision. I had to stop and stand, and I have to see now it has to turn. The horse have to help me to handle this situation. Mm. And I stood there and observed, and then I got a really, really pure and strong feeling inside that the horse said, but why are you struggling?
That is beautiful.
This is how it is. Mm-hmm. This is how you are. this is how I am. This is us. Here and now.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt how it was when that really sink in and you realize the simplicity in that situation. If you take all pressure away and all hard things you put on yourself. And then the horse also said, this is the body and mind you have. This is how you are. And this is the body and mind I have. Accept the reality. See the reality. See what the reality is telling you. And that is very, very difficult. I remember I have loved dreams. I love romantic dreams.
I feel that.
I have created princess dresses, nice things, a nice saddle, nice leather, nice equipment, beautiful horses, nice surroundings. I like things that is nursing the beauty and the harmony. So that was a little bit difficult to change because the horse said the true beauty and harmony is in acceptance of the reality. It's the reality that is beautiful. That was hard because I could see, yeah, that this back is see and so, and that exercise is not perfect. And yeah, all these things we are nagging and nagging and nagging on horse or mostly ourselves.
Yeah.
And if you are not allowed any longer and you look at the reality, it feels strange. I feel strange. But so much more real.
Mm. That was also a lot of information. So I will try to frame that now a little bit. I've made notes that our audience can follow because we too are always getting a little bit carried away when we are meeting. My first question actually was for you that we are starting with the women we were when we first worked together. And we can say one of the reasons why this is so fertile, also because we are so different. You are, for me, if I'm looking at you, always impressed by the natural seat that you are having because you grew up on horseback. We can say that, right?
Yeah, we could say
that. You already talked a little bit about the project your father had. Mm-hmm. So you grew up literally on horseback.
Yeah.
And it's deep down in your nervous system. So you don't think about if the shoulder needs to go forward or the hip is doing this and that. You're just, it's just there. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you this story because that was our meeting point many, many years ago in the Academic Art of Riding. We were, believe it or not, now 15 years later, we were not talking about the seat.
No.
Not a little bit.
No.
At all.
No.
No. And I remember because I'm not an artist. I'm not natural like you are. I'm a brainer. I'm a thinker. I have to understand things. I have to train them. Then I can start. Then it's going into my spine and I can start about it. But until that point, I have to work damn hard. It doesn't come natural. That was our meeting point because it was one of my years as an intern at Ben's place. That year I came and said, Ben, I think we need to talk and we need to talk about the seat.
Mm.
And he said, and he said, you know, I have been riding for so many masters and I had so much different seat training and each time I came out worse than before. So I'm a little bit, I don't want to force people in a position, but still I was nagging enough and I can be very stubborn. And he said, okay, let's do seat training. So he took me what we know nowadays and what we have done with many interns now. He took my horse in the cabezon in groundwork and was teaching me how to follow the horse's movement. And on day one, it was going kind of okay. On day one, two, it was fine. And on day three, when he took the longe line off, I couldn't ride a circle anymore. And I got really stressed. And the master got really stressed.
Yeah.
And then we were both very happy that he went on vacation and that we wouldn't meet for a while. And he said, you know, I'm going on my annual vacation now. Mm. And when I'm coming back, pretend this has never happened. And then Hannah comes to the summer academy. And then I think it would be good for you with her for a little while. What nobody told me at that point was that the sea training would be part of the summer academy program. Oh, yeah. That I learned the evening before. And I was very, very nervous. Mm. But you managed to create this bubble around us. So I did not feel the audience anymore. And then I thought, this is exciting. Mm. I need to learn more because this might be the key.
Yeah, it could be. Mm-hmm.
This might be the key. Mm-hmm. And when you later had a position free for help on the farm, I thought, good, we pack up our things.
Just do it.
And do it. And I think it was a few weeks in between deciding and going. Mm-hmm. That was very exciting. And then we were here and started to work. When we are looking back at that, I can say that I was probably the biggest nerd in biomechanics and wanted to have hips and chests and all placed. Mm. And you have been always thinking in this flow of energy.
Yeah, because already there, you know all the names of the horses that time you had at that time. And with this knowledge I have today, can understand them even better.
So much better, yeah.
But what I already understood were that to not step over the individ, because the horse is also just as big individ as we are ourselves, you have to accept that things are not perfect, but you still have to open up that the energy can flow through, and that is a part of the mind and the sea training. So therefore, it was very difficult for you, that was the biomechanic in the academic after riding, to start at the first point with acceptance and inner balance on top of a horse that just shows, honestly, a their natural way of moving with their collected issues.
Yeah,
that was very frustrating. You remember that?
Oh, yes, I remember that feeling.
But after a while, see if the horse decide to follow you, if you in this chaos find a position where you can survive and are okay, so you doesn't create tensions.
More tension.
And what does the horse change together with you, and what is still there that none maybe help,
but
no matter what you did.
Yeah. But I think there you have already been lining out what maybe or then and still today is at the heart of our work with horses. It's the acceptance of the horse that is there and not overstepping its borders.
Yeah, because you know how it feels. Yeah. Because if we go to feeling, I have seen, and then I have been able to words on it, that a rider is only a little bit sad or frustrated, not because the horse didn't do a flying change, but it's frustrated. It didn't realize that it was overstepping the borders, and that makes you sad, even if you don't understand it.
So we are coming from a point where we have also always thought about that we just need to explain better to the horse what to do. Or I definitely believe that if I am just training it carefully enough and I am pedagogic enough, that it is all about understanding.
Let it fixed. It will be fixed.
It will be fixed. Mm-hmm. Just by doing good enough as a rider. How many horses have you trained in your life so far?
I cannot.
I would say.
I don't. It's not enough. It's not enough for,
hundreds.
Over.
Yeah. Did it ever work?
Actually, up to a certain border where the horse actually have its border, up to that, but not over the border of the horse. And we can count those hundreds on a hand, which were able, because they were, with the knowledge we have today, probably the healthiest.
Yeah, and I think that your first sentence was the most important one, because of course we need to teach our horses a language and aids if we want to do something together.
Of course.
Yes, we need to build up a language. Mm-hmm. It is as it is. But there are also physical limitations. And mm-hmm. then it's not about teaching aids and understanding anymore. Then it is about physical ability. And I think that was a quite big mindset change for me. Because I always thought, you know, if I am doing better, if I'm explaining more careful, if I'm training harder, if I am, it's also interesting how egocentric this perspective is when we are talking about, if I am doing better, my horse will finally get it. But then we are hitting natural borders. Yes. And how can that look like?
Yeah. For me, with all this amount, it can look like that a horse don't have three functional gait.
What's that noise?
Orange juice.
You wanted to say you are thirsty. We are fixing it soon. Good that she didn't get the coffee.
Yeah. It could also be that you think that something is easy, just having a free, willing walk of forward with a nice natural swung where the horse is not trying to replace your balance in some direction mm-hmm. that could stay under. And you can feel a connection in between all the body parts in your frame. Huh? That is quite rare.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you don't feel it in to think, oh, then you need to do more bending, you need to do more exercise, this and that. And if you just can do a little bit of piaf, mm-hmm. the whole situation will change.
Us will get stronger.
So you work harder.
Yeah.
But then again, you get disappointed because then you begin to see horse say, I'm not sure that I like all those things. That puts me out of the border. So yes, it could definitely look like. I have also seen horses there. I needed to take quicker decisions of what to do that not even have felt comfortable out in the field together with the herd.
Yeah,
I see. The herd is also, mm-hmm. I'm not sure that this individual is healthy enough. And one of
be us. With us.
It's too dangerous. Yeah. And then it's really urgent to actually do something because that is not okay. But you know, the common things that you notice that if you have been over the border of the horse, it doesn't really want to come as easy in the field any longer when you should catch it.
Mm-hmm.
Or it shows slowly that, when the saddle comes on now, you know, so it's a lot of very discreet signs, even if you are a good friend, even if you have a good relationship.
Yeah.
That gives the summarum of interesting why it's now those small signs. What is the horse to tell? And again, you get frustrated since riding or being a horse girl has never from the beginning. We have not learned that. So then I was able to use my gut feeling, have hand on my heart. Became so many times insecure because the gut feeling, how can you trust that?
Yeah.
Among all those things that you are told how to do things or how it should be or...
And why does it work for somebody else but not for you?
And all the nice pictures at social media and all things that if you just come up on that level, thing will be fixed. So it has been like a fight, an inner fight. I have recognized it inside myself all the time with insecureness. But then I remember that Bent actually mentioned it many years ago, that insecureness is healthy. Because what happens when you feel insecure, work even harder to understand what it is about. Maybe you actually are sooner or later.
And you are not getting so narrow-minded that you're thinking only you are right. Huh?
No.
That is one of the things that I really like about the academic art of riding, that Bent is always a little bit like nagging on us to keep our eyes open and to be ourselves.
But then you probably mention it. We have been working now for such a long time together and followed the path. The world and the reality how the horse is seen has changed enormously the last 15 years.
How has that changed for you?
Actually, I felt many times stressed because I feel I have not enough knowledge to catch up because it's so many things that you have to be aware of. And of course, if you love your horses, you would like to know. You would like to be able to help them because it was there from the beginning. I just wanted to make life enjoyable for horses or decent. So it has been stressful and... Therefore, also has been important for me with corporations, with others, since we know we don't have time at all. No. You do have to help each other.
Yeah, and also pick somebody else's brain.
And to have a second opinion. Yes. But this is also tricky because I have felt that I have many times asked for help. And I have also realized that it's not only me that is after my time. Mm-hmm. Even professionals that are supposed to help.
You are a professional.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. Forgetting I'm also a human.
You're a horse girl, I know, but you are a professional.
And even professionals that I have tried to ask for help, since I know that I needed knowledge, have not maybe had either the opportunity to catch up as much as you actually need
to
know to be able to help in some tricky situations. So I think I'm just a reflection of how it is in the horse world. I think I often like to tell also my students that because I can hear and see that we all are struggling.
Yes, and we also for the horses because
the horses,
love them so much that we would like to do our...
Yeah, of course.
Very, very best. Mm-hmm. And I think that is one of the tricky parts is that you have this scheme in that you would like to put all horses in.
Mm.
Say, okay, you start with the basics and then you do a little shoulder in and then you just start collecting and then, you know.
And therefore, what we have got from our father in teaching here in the academic is how to use looking backwards at history and also understand how the masters, the historical masters, also were struggling at their time and which decision they needed to take and which experience they got. But we also know, we always have said it, that if it should be a balance to look in the future and see what is the future out and how to integrate those things
into the future.
In our day to support the future riders, the future's horse carer.
And there, I can't repeat that often enough. So I'm this nerd driving our master a little bit crazy with that. but I think one of the most important changes that we have experienced, how do we look at our horses? Also from a scientific standpoint, because it's so crazy. And I'm always saying in lectures, for example, but it was not before 2012 that horses and all other vertebrates, so not humans, everything else acknowledged emotions.
Yeah.
And with these emotions, because pain is an emotion, they were acknowledged to have gait abnormalities and pain. And that is why we see this explosion afterwards in science. So one of my close friends that is a pain researcher was telling the story about when she was having her PhD thesis, that her doctor father were putting her into the VUSA corner when she was discussing that the mice and the lab rats, of course, also experienced emotions, pain and joy and everything. It was simply not accepted.
No.
And then I think it is very, very important that we are also allowing a look at history and saying, okay, they were children of their time and they were for sure loving their horses. But if you think they function like a machine or the body is functioning like a machine, that's, of course, the pressure you're putting on them. And if we are thinking, you know, I just need to put a little bit of oil into the machine, but going, then this is, of course, the glasses that I'm wearing when I'm going into the arena.
Of course.
And teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have a very good teacher. I am technically, I think you too, but I know for myself, I'm technically very, very good. Mm. And that was the hardest point for me. We are speaking honest from our heart.
Yes, you sure?
So, this was the hardest point for knowledge, that because I'm technically very good, make horses do things beyond their border.
Of course.
And I think that was a difficult one for me to digest and to say, okay, maybe my intentions were good, but maybe the outcome wasn't so beneficial for the horse.
But there again, we are the children of our world, and we just say that we are now in this fast development of always questioning your intentions.
Yeah.
But did you ever have Alexander technique lesson?
I love it.
It's fantastic, but it was also that your technique was almost connected to because we thought that if we could give the awareness of how it feels to move correct over the bones, the brain will pick that up and choose the movements that was beneficial and realize, oh, I don't have problems. I'm not so crooked. The heart idea was completely
good.
Because that is also what can happen. Yeah. Yes, it was warm. So I don't want to completely throw it in the garbage bin.
No,
but still, it's not enough. You have to see even a little bit more, and maybe it's there where you are coming.
Yeah, at least it's it was the start of my. I had to. I sometimes feel like there has been a life before Norway and after, because what we did in Norway was similar to what you did here. We created a little horse paradise, and you have so much land it doesn't matter anymore because she has 150 hectares. So if you're an intern here, bring your running. We have often been searching horses.
Yeah.
So. there it nearly doesn't matter anymore, but what we can give our horses is mountains, and they can go out in summer completely free. You are also warm.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that is completely fantastic. They can be completely free and move free into the mountains and decide when to come home and when to leave. And let's talk about nervous system regulation, just because we have. Of course, when we are putting horses under pressure in their environment already, they can't take any decisions. They are completely helpless, basically. That we are having a stress system. Maybe that is healthy, because it's maybe not healthy to be so out of choice. But if we are putting them into your environment or into my environment, and the nervous system is still not relaxing, then we have a point where we can start to be curious. And that is what has happened to me when I was buying horses. I was simply, okay, I am putting them in this environment. And for a period, everything gets better. Everything gets better. The horse is relaxing. The horse is getting better muscle. The chest comes up and so on. Why the hell can this horse not trot 2 minutes on a second? That is not normal. Why do I need to make art, you know, educate him for 5 years to make him trot on a stupid circus? Shouldn't a horse be able to do that? And I think the answer is yes, it should be able to do that. Dog trot can. And even the circle itself is not so challenging if the spine is healthy. If you don't make a 2 meter circle, okay. Yeah, but just the normal, sensible. And I think that was where I started to get curious, and where many people around me, including my vet, was saying, I'm starting to get a little bit nuts, but where I was simply not accepting to say, this is a behavior.
No.
It is not.
No.
It is not.
Because that's old fashioned.
That isn't it.
Yes. Yes. I think so.
It's before 2012.
Yes.
And that is what I like about research. Because we can say we don't know everything, far away from that, but we know a little bit more than 20 years ago.
Yes.
And when we know more, we can do better because we always try to do our best. But it's not normal. If horses are living like this here, if they are living like at my place, if they have a proper living conditions, they should be able to have 3 gates.
It's so fun that you say it, because my young helper, she is a young girl that just see a horse. And when I said, I have horses, you cannot put this horse in canter now. And she said, why not? Oh, I thought all horses could. Oh,
yeah, it would be nice. I would really like it.
But this is what you think a horse can do.
Yeah.
And that I also thought when I was younger and didn't understood how much things that can be for a horse.
The question is that then something that we need to teach? So if I'm having a horse that is not doing it naturally, do I put it into terre-à-terre or collection or piaf to make it canter? It would have been my way 15 years ago. I wouldn't do it.
No, of course, if it cannot do it naturally and artificial, is not the truth, we could say, or it's actually forced.
Mm-hmm. I'm a very good technician. I'm a very good teacher. I can teach them do it, but do I still want to do it? And do I still think, due to my values?
Sorry, I have to open here. She wants to go in the shell. In case you want to go, choose there. There you go.
I fear I don't take my dog home. So, but I think it's an important question that we revisit our ethics with growing knowledge. And still, that doesn't mean there's no teaching process. It doesn't mean a horse might get stronger over the years with physiological training. Mm-hmm. But don't I also need to accept its borders?
Yeah, contra that. I can add, it's ringing words from the master in my system. If we look at ethics, why does the horse need to improve that you are a good teacher?
That is a beautiful wing and around.
If it's so clearly shown, it's overstepping.
Yes.
So that's just the simple. Yeah. Why was no art is beautiful?
If it is forced.
If it's forced.
There you are again at the old masters. There's Xenophon closing.
But we have, and I have to go to myself, I say we, but I should say have, unfortunately, learned to use what humans are very good at. Close, because we also have a pain reducing length, that when we feel emotional pain, we can close and we can rely on, I do it for the cause of the horse.
Yeah.
Or I do it because the master have said that it should be better during time. Or I do it because the vet has told that this has to be done. You know, I can close and say, okay, I do it, even if I would be honest and open heart, could sense the reaction and the emotional of my
horse. I think I have been standing so often next to my horse, especially to Despino, because he is limited.
Yeah.
I've said, I am so sorry, but it's good for you what we are doing here.
I know. And I know that I still can say it, and therefore I could be so honest that now when I'm in a situation trying to see how do I need to change my approach to sing, actually also come in peace with myself. I need to observe my own behavings and be a little bit open, not being mean, because I'm not doing anything by purpose to do something bad. I'm just doing it to do my absolutely best. But what is the best today?
What is the best? And what is this?
Yeah.
We have been discussing this morning before the recording in the writing arena a bit about functionality and stuff. Yeah. And I've just said that for some years it was difficult for me because I didn't know what to teach anymore, because I was in this, drawn in between this, I can make you do this, and I'm not sure if that is right anymore.
No.
Or where is the border? How do I find the border in between? Horses are people pleasers. So because the horse is trying to please me, especially if food is in the picture, then we have an even higher motivation. It's trying to please me. It is really beneficial for the horse. And there for me, movement science and understanding functionality and seeing a few horses that were functional, then comparing that with this functionality and then also during teaching, here we see a functional movement getting dysfunctional. Then I know where the border is. And then I can feel safe in my art or in my teachings again and say, okay. And then it's also so much easier to communicate to people and say, okay, here we have found the border of this body for now. Maybe it's changing, maybe not.
But there you comes again, that we are so used to, I can only go to myself, but I'm so used to those unstresses, abnormality in the horses. So I think it's almost normal. It's normal.
Yeah.
And then I'm getting insecure since I don't have
exactly that. That is
normal.
Yeah. And that is also what I'm seeing in a lot of students when they seeing abnormal, and they haven't come to the point of acceptance yet. Mm-hmm. And I feel that so close to my heart because it was really a few very horrible years. You're just standing there and see abnormal, 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 abnormal. Mm-hmm. But what are we doing with this abnormal now? And what is breaking them down more? And where can we say, okay, this is who you are. This is who you are. We have to live with the body that you have. That's okay. My body is also not perfect.
But still, I cannot come with a grounded, relaxed attitude into the stable if I'm insecure of what I see mm-hmm. or what I shall do. And I still could feel a little worried about this individual I have in my hands. Therefore, I think a wish would be strange expectations we have on ourselves that are our fault, because that happens. You say now it would be super simple to tell someone, we look at your horse, mm-hmm. it has this and that from nature, from the breed. This has probably been an accident. Therefore, this is happening. But still, if you are telling it very kind and very neutral mm-hmm. without judging, the person that listens will still be getting cramped, getting worried, blame themselves. Oh, why I didn't notice that? Why I am so stupid? So even if you talk about the horse, it's a direct attacking, it feels like, for the person almost to hear this. And therefore, people are so afraid, and it's such a huge
yes
to take.
Yes.
So I have been curious how to present it in a way that it's easy to take, because it's a help finally accept the reality as it is. Beauty. What word have put in front of you or together with you?
That is a big lesson from the ponies.
It is. Mm. It is. Because as you say, it still could actually be a fantastic opportunity to do what would help.
Yeah.
And doing things that will not help.
Yeah. And also, I mean, if we are really honest, like really honest, mm. next to the two of us.
Yeah.
But how many students do you have that are really coming to you because they wanted to piaffe and levade?
To me, not so many. Since I'm clear that I'm working with, first, as we said, the relationship. So it's possible to talk about those things.
Yes.
But if it's too stressful, when everything is in a total mess, you first have to create a little language, but then you look.
You know, just when I'm looking at, because that is something that I'm asking all students at the start, what do you wish for?
Yeah.
What is your wish for the journey with your mm-hmm. horse?
Mm-hmm.
And I think in all these years, I had once somebody who said, I would like to do the PF.
Mm-hmm. But then I just have to contrast mm-hmm. since you ask what they asked mm-hmm. for, because we have also said, and the academic has said that, for example, the squire level,
mm.
walk and trot, and a little bit of natural counter, mm-hmm. some communication mm-hmm. exercises left and right, should be kind of the lowest degrees mm-hmm. of what a normal horse should be able to do together with its rider. And still we know how long time it takes teach an equipage, horse and rider, to come to that.
Or at least trainable. Yes, I agree.
Trainable.
Mm,
but
I agree,
then we also, during this road, a lot of horses stop on different staircases where they have reached their borders, not even up to that level.
Yeah.
Then the unbalance is often in between the dreams or the goal of the person, even if we all say today we just have the horse for the relationship and for liking the horse, we still have a little wish that it would be nice to be able to run.
But it is so funny, because most people, when they are coming to me, they say, I want to have a good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to keep my horse happy and healthy. Most often the happiness is even more important. And then I'm wondering, isn't it for people like this? Isn't it, you know, they don't need the perfect horse.
They
just need a good relationship to the horse they have. And isn't it then better that we are respecting the borders of the horse and really truly seeing through behavior and saying, okay, this is who you are.
I think that is definitely the next step to achieve that goal.
This is who you are, and independent of what I can make you do, let's have a look at what you actually can do and do with joy, because many of my students are already so happy if they have a harmonious seat with their pony and can do like a little shoulder in and trot.
Yeah.
And have a horse with that they can hike out, maybe jump over a little pole.
But then we are also coming to the tradition that we are not either used to giving ourselves that acceptance.
Yeah.
We sometimes force our bodies to go into situations that is actually a little bit over our borders. But I think it's changing. Isn't that great?
I think so too. And I also think if we know better, we can do better.
Yeah.
So maybe it's sometimes not so bad be so nerdy and say, I want to know a little bit. I'm a little bit curious. And then how can we apply it back to the horse?
All this. But if we take one example before we end.
Yeah.
Because we have just been into the riding arena. Now. We can take any of my horses because I know they are welcome here. They were not for normal sports.
Yeah.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
That we can see. And so where do we start? So with your knowledge now, how would you recommend to do?
I'm usually always starting with functionality. So just the horse in walk and different movements and say, okay, what is functional, what is unfunctional, and then see if we have trainability.
And there, more specific, because when you say like the nerd in me say, and I know that you are seeing a lot how, of course, the spine is moving when the horse is moving normal.
I am putting the horse into 5 different movement units.
Okay, good.
And then we have the spine, thoracolumbar movement, so the swing, what we would in academic art of riding, we would call it chest movement. And then we know a lot of horses that, for example, are just rotating in one direction. That is giving us information about hind leg dysfunction. So we have the thoracolumbar, the chest movement. We have the movement of the spine. We have the movement of head and neck as a unit.
Exactly.
We have the front legs and the hind legs. So, and then when I'm saying front legs, I'm going all the way up to the wither. Because I'm not only looking at how are the joints moving, but how is this, when we are looking from a physiological standpoint, then the horse is organized in the system. And then we are calling it the thoracic sling system. And that is quite a lot also in social media. But we also talk, and that is not so commonly seen in social media, but very important, about a pelvic sling system. Because they are also, we have this trampoline effect, this natural trampoline effect in. And we see many, many horses that can't even lift their feet out of the ground.
Yes.
Now we know something in that system is not functional. So I'm looking at all these 5.
And from that you begin to, of course,
wait. And then I'm looking at, I'm having for myself 3 different stages. I have normal, which means loadable. I have tolerable, which means it's not perfect, but you can live with it.
Okay.
And I have red flags. I'm saying, okay, this is very, very dysfunctional. And if I have many red flags, then I know the horse isn't trainable.
Exactly. But isn't that very easy?
Yes, it's super easy. And if I have many tolerable ones, then I know I have a starting point. So if I have red flags, I need to send them to the vet.
Yes.
So that is unethical to start playing around with that. If I have tolerable, then I can say, okay, we are looking at how can we improve. And then when we are looking at training planning and so on and different muscle fibers in the horse's body, what makes this place so great is that you, without knowing it, for you the energy was important, but they get a physiological workout here for the passive stay apparatus that is giving them the ability, quite a lot of dysfunction.
Yes.
So if I'm having a horse that is very gait abnormal, and that is always where I'm starting, and then the training doesn't start in the arena. Then we start with environment. And even if the horse is in a normal stable, there's so many of these tiny twitches that you can do where life won't get suddenly like horse life on 150 hectare.
No.
But you can improve so much.
Yeah, so it's a daily low impact thing.
Yes, because we always have to be aware of when you just look at muscle fiber, and research is in the last two, three years getting so much better. We are coming to a point where we can say that it's just 45% of all muscles that are trainable in the sense of movement training, in the sense of exercising. Okay. So a lot of that, what we are floating on in the riding arena, is trained in the other 23 hours or not.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if we can make a positive impact, of course, everything will improve. And then I'm often having horses that are not trainable since many years. And we are doing these twitches. And then we say, okay, we give the horse now with making sure it's everything that it needs from the nutrition, but also with this environmental change, we give it the first positive impact should be visible after 6 weeks. We give it 3 months and then we reassess.
But that is really good that you actually have a knowledge of how long time it could take to see a change. Because I think these time things is important.
It's super important. Yeah. Then we reassess. And then we can say again, you know, loadable, tolerable, not tolerable. So do we have a point now where we can start training?
Exactly.
And then we have a program for training with our training. So I'm calling it preparing for training.
Yes.
Preparing for loading or rehabilitation under load. I don't like the word rehabilitation so much anymore. But and then we see, okay, and if the horse is mastering that, how where are we after 6 weeks? After 3 months? Do we after 6 weeks see it has improved, but it's not where we want it, so just continue another 6 weeks? And after 3 months, we look again and say, okay, what has happened now? Because sometimes, and that is what makes me so happy about functionality, sometimes there are things that we can first diagnose when the horse is dissected. And that is maybe too late.
It could be a little bit.
Yeah, it could give us explanations, but maybe it's a little late. We don't want to go there. Maybe also we would like to keep the horse and cuddle it. Then we have to believe the body and what the story that it is telling us. Even if for a lot of stuff we have good diagnostical tools when we include veterinarians, but not for everything. So then we simply have to believe the horse that there is a dysfunctionality in the pelvic sling. If it can't lift its leg, it will be a dysfunctionality in the pelvic sling. Will be there.
Yeah, and there comes back to the topic we were here for. It was to accept that what you see and what you can figure out is the reality of now. This is how it is. But then I remembered that you also split from what probably has been and what is acute. So you also
old pain and new pain.
Yes.
Because, of course, if you have an inflammatory process, first you need to get out of the inflammatory process. If you have a chronic dysfunction, it's cold, you know, it's cold. If you have inflammation, it's hot. And that makes it so difficult, for example, overweight horses, because they have an inflammation in all their bodies. So you can't train them anymore. So there we are going in then from the nutritional side and say, okay, first we cover the weight loss. And how can we do that in an ethical way that the horse isn't stuck? So we don't destroy anything else.
Yes.
If we ask in Facebook, I always think it's so sad. Then the horses are slim afterwards, but the stomach and the gut is broken. Was that a win? I don't know. It's also unnecessary. So we need to go out of inflammation to be able to start training. Everything that is inflammated can't even be body worked.
But that's the same with you. It was the case for you. Sometimes I think it's so strange that we put differences in between animals and people. But that is also how we have to learn.
But that is coming from this century-long, we are today tying it back to Descartes usually, tradition.
Yeah, tradition.
Of seeing animals as a different type of being than humans.
Yes, I know.
And that has just 2012. Can you imagine? We are all just vertebrates.
But as I say, I want to defend the people a little bit.
Yes.
We have also, or we are still, even if you begin that animals have emotion, we are still very, very bad, except our own emotions. So we are still in traditions.
Yes.
Losing up in a normal social integrations with other people. So it's still not completely correct. Just be yourself and honest and accept things and showing off exactly who you are, because it's still that you have to behave. So I think it brings how we see ourselves during this process together with us.
Yes.
So it's therefore it's a very important process we are into. To come into this where we all are wishing for, because harmony is within acceptance and seeing reality.
I think Ben has said something very beautiful during the last summit. He said, every horse has a right to be seen as what it is.
Exactly.
And what it is. And it is not a mirror or a reflection to our dreams and wishes. It is just the horse that it is. And that's the most important first.
That's the same with us. So there we go.
And if we are wrapping this up, usually my guest is having the last sentence. So if there is something that you could write out on a wall or shout out to the internet and would like writers to take home, what would that be?
I would like to make the advice test to go a little bit back to the feeling you had when you were much, much younger.
And 10 kilos lighter.
Just accept that. Open your eyes and open your heart and actually believe that what you see, even if it's not perfect, it's the reality, and it's there, the beauty and the curiosity of life and body-wise will start up clear. So instead of being sad or nervous or afraid, that is not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Use your childish curiosity and open eyes and heart. See the reality. They're already there. You will take a lot of steps. Wouldn't it fantastic if the friend were okay to tell you how it really is? And that you are also, I always say, my students can tell your horse how it really is, but vice versa. You will feel how huge impact that would have a relationship.
Yeah. Thank you very much for today. We will link your webpage in the show notes.
Yeah.
And I also think I would like to mention that your work is now in that time where I think the industry is ready for some change. We need to change some things.
We need to figure out the approaches, and therefore would like to learn also more from you, because riding teachers need not only thinking that you can fix it, you have a clear overview of the reality, and that picture makes me calm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Welcome. And I also think your work is getting more and more important. We have been here in the podcast talking of the spinal engine and the horse and so on. We have it next month in the online membership. And then your work, being the rider in touch with their emotional but also physical body, is getting more and more important, because we can say this is really where the journey starts.
Mm. Yes, so study yourself, or the seat, we call it, but the seat is not only your butt. We could say that the seat, it's half of the equipage.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah, it's fantastic, because there you can always start. And you're allowed changes with yourself. It's allowed.
Yes.
Instead of always think that you have to change another person or the horse. There you can work more freely, study, think. Yeah, the feeling and the knowledge of when the spine is allowed to be as normal as it can be, it's a fantastic feeling.
Fantastic. I will warmly recommend that to all our listeners. That a little bit of seat training with Hannah can do quite some math. And now, before we start the second podcast, we really wrap that up and make fresh coffee.